Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
American leadership is what holds the world together. American alliances is what keep us, America, safe. American values are what make us a partner that other nations want to work with. To put all that at risk, if we walk away from Ukraine, if we turn our backs on Israel, it's just not worth it. That's why tomorrow I'm going to send to Congress an urgent budget request to fund America's national security needs, to support our critical partners, including Israel and Ukraine. It's a smart investment that's going to pay dividends for American security for generations. Help us keep American troops out of harm's way. Help us build a world that is safer, more peaceful, more prosperous for our children and grandchildren.
So this was the address last night, and I got to tell you, I wasn't impressed with it. I know some were. I have no idea. I guess we didn't watch the same thing. I wasn't impressed with it because I was wondering why we were talking so much about Ukraine. I mean, that's what he turned it into. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday to you. Dana Loesch here with you. We're going to break that down. And then, of course, all the latest, because it seems like every single day there's like a new, obviously there's more developments taking place. And we'll bring all of that to you. But the address last night, to start there, I mean, I'm friends with Britt Hume. I've known him for a long time. I just totally disagree with what he said. He said that it was a good speech from Biden. Did you watch DeCain, right?
I did.
I didn't think it was a good speech.
No.
And correct me if I'm wrong, which this may be more rhetorical than anything, but I don't recall him saying anything about hostages.
Nope.
Or Iran. He didn't say anything about Iran. What else did he not say?
He didn't mention China, Taiwan, the southern border.
Yeah, none of that. None of that. It was mainly just
no hostages, right? Like you said.
Yeah, definitely no hostages. Said nothing about hostages because that was. I thought that would honestly be like the first thing that he would talk about, and he didn't, which was really odd. I just thought that would be, you know, you're the president of the United States. You have some Americans that are being held hostage by a terrorist organization. You know, you would think that, you know, I don't know, maybe perhaps that would be the thing that, you know, you would remark on how we're going to get our hostages back, what the U.S. is capable and willing to do for that to happen. Maybe address, you know, some of the media malpractice. Maybe talk about some of the Democrats that have kind of crap the bed, so to speak. I mean, I'm just thinking there's like so many things that he could have done and could have said, and he didn't say it. So I don't understand why people thought that this was like a really good address from him. We clearly didn't watch the same thing. It was not a good address. This was not a good address for him. He's doing a couple of things here. And no, I'm not being a cynic. I'm not being a cynic with all of this. I'm being realistic, and I'm actually citing what, you know, his own people have been, you know, telling the press, etc. But you know, they really want to move him to being some kind of war president because he needs a hit. He's got to have a hit, and that's why you have a lot of discussion about the his he struck a perfect note, and he did so well. He's reaffirming his commitment to Israel. What he's trying to do is he's trying to triangulate, so to speak, with the aid to both Israel and Gaza. There's this piece that I saw, which I was kind of thinking this last night. It's a Politico piece that says Biden's allies say the quiet part out loud. This war could be his 2024 reset. And it gets into how allies and surrogates are really pushing him to kind of pivot and become a wartime president, which is weird because he didn't want to be a wartime president. And a wartime president would suggest that America itself is at war, which we are not. And so it's he has to have a hit. He doesn't have a hit with the economy. The economy's been hit, but that's not the same thing as him having a hit. He doesn't have a hit with the economy. He doesn't have nothing. He has nothing. So they've got to make it look like he's succeeding on something, and this is going to be it. This is going to be the thing that they're going to use. That's why you had a lot of people say, well, this was, a good speech. And some Republicans are just toddler stomping right into it. He didn't mention he didn't say anything about, I want to go back. He didn't say anything about American hostages. He didn't say anything about the Americans that were killed in the attack. He didn't say anything about Hamas's historied aggression towards Israel. He didn't point out to people, which I think would have been helpful for his position and his platform at the time in the Oval Office, giving a primetime address, which is not entirely usual for presidents to do. But he could have taken the opportunity to tell people, Hamas has been given numerous chances to pursue peace, to pursue two-state solution, perhaps. I told you, I read part of the Hamas charter for you yesterday. That's not in their interest at all. They have zero interest in doing that. I mean, we discussed all of this. So he didn't do any of that. He didn't do a single bit of it. He didn't mention a single bit of it. He didn't say, we're not going to have a discussion about ceasefire while, the terrorist group against which you're calling for a ceasefire is still holding American hostages. He didn't say anything like that. He didn't say anything about Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and the pro-Hamas caucus that is in the Democrat Party. He didn't say a single damn thing about any of them, despite the fact that Rashida Tlaib actually called him out at a protest day before yesterday. He didn't say a single thing about that. Not a single bit. He didn't talk about how they accidentally doxed SEAL Team 6 or not SEAL Team 6. I think it was a Delta Force team that the assumption is that he was over there and he was meeting with members of our armed forces. And apparently he was meeting with one of the spec out teams that would be door kicking in Gaza. And they didn't even blur their faces out. And they put them. I mean, that's oh, my gosh. The person who was in charge of posting that tweet, I would not only fire them, I would ruin their ever loving lives so they could never get another job and they would be destitute in perpetuity. I'm not kidding, because that's how serious that what they did is. It is such a serious offense. They ought to be taken out and whipped publicly right there in front of the damn Capitol. That is absolutely ridiculous. Put all those people in danger. Not just those people, but all the people that those people know and all the families of those people and all the families of the people that the people know. That's how bad this is. And our White House, we got to make this old man look like he can do something. They decide to rush out and they post that picture of the faces of our spec op teams. And you can even see, I didn't post the photo of their faces, but you can see they were like, there's a camera here. Because they don't want to have their photo taken when they're active duty and they're getting ready to go kick in doors, you jackasses. And they posted their photos anyway. White House is an embarrassment. God help me if I ever find the person who ever put that photo out. You can interpret my comment however you feel. So this is shameful. Shameful. It was a stupid speech. Republicans need to stop being so desperate and acting like, oh, this was a great speech. It wasn't a great speech. This wasn't a great speech. He fell short of everything. How in the hell are you not saying anything about hostages? That's weakness. You're not talking about hostages. That's weak. You're not talking about Hezbollah, which we're going to discuss, that our naval forces intercepted. And there's a lot of muddiness around who were they firing rockets at? Were they sending rockets over? Were they trying to strike our ships? Were they firing? Were they trying to go at Israel? What was happening here? And the Houthis, well, hell, they're all the way over in the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman. The Houthis are Iranian. And the Houthis, whenever you hear about those boats that are overtaking other boats and harassing different vessels in the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman, that's who that is. It's the Houthis. That's another proxy group for Iran because they're a bunch of cowardly pansies that have to fight through a bunch of proxy groups. I mean, what happens if Hezbollah decides to get all crazy and start firing off? Like as they have been, there's been increased fire at IDF forces in northern Israel. What happens? What happens if they start getting froggy? There's so many. He didn't address a single bit of this. How in the hell was this, by any measure, a good speech? It wasn't. It was another disappointment from a guy who's barely sentient, who can't even walk on a flat plane, and who clearly can't even talk. This is the White House. It's not visiting angels. This is the White House. It's not hospice. This is the White House. It's not a nursing home. Democrats have this weird fetish with control to the extent that they will jeopardize national security just so they can hold on to the dying embers. Oh, and then he talks about tying. I don't give a rat's ass about the conflict with Ukraine and Russia. Get mad at me for saying it. I don't care. It is a land dispute that we are not involved in. We are not. It is not the same thing as Israel. Ukraine is not a strategic ally. Israel is. There's what interests do we have if for the people out there who go, oh, your comments are pro-Putin, you can get bent. I cannot stand that remedial argument made by remedial people who skipped history class and have no idea about the playing field that is the Crimean area. They have no idea about the history of that area. They have no idea about the borders that were made and remade and drawn and redrawn during the Soviet Republic era. They have no clue how all of that came to be. They could not even tell you in under 20 seconds how Ukraine's current borders came to be. But by God, they're sure going to sit here and tell you that you're pro-Putin simply because you have perfectly and correctly acknowledged that this is a land dispute that has no involvement with the United States. Russia is a dying communist shell. They can barely keep up with their own selves, much less try to expand their borders. All of the neocons out there that are like, oh, they're going to try to expand their empire. No, they're not. They're not going to try to expand their empire. And I also reject the argument coming from capital L libertarians that get out there and say, well, you know, NATO shouldn't be at their doorstep. Are you stupid? Did you flunk history? Did you flunk actual classes that junior high kids probably aced? Do you not understand geography? Have you heard of countries called Estonia or Latvia? Or do you only recognize things that exist here within your Tupperware Fresh Society of the USA? Because there are already countries that are NATO countries that border Russia. So drop that too. He's tying Ukraine funding because it's his money laundering op. He's tying that to any kind of aid should it arise for Israel. They're not even remotely the same thing. Yeah, you said, Kane, that it was you think it was pre-recorded?
I think so.
I saw the rumors going around. I haven't seen any, you know, confirmation on those rumors, but that apparently it was done several times to try to get it in one take, and at the end they had to actually splice a couple takes together.
Can you imagine? Isn't that what, I don't know, that's what a lot of really bad YouTubers do, so I don't know.
Right.
Just splice it. Heaven forbid they just do live to tape. Do you love hiking or camping? Whether it's a short walk through the woods or an overnight stay along the trail, Kel-Tec has the protection you need. For two decades, the folds-in-half Kel-Tec sub-2000 carbine has been filling the pistol-caliber carbine gap with options for several popular magazines, including Glock, Smith & Wesson, and Sig Sauer. The Kel-Tec sub-2000 is much easier and less to take along. Sights are intuitive, the stock is adjustable, and field stripping is a breeze. Plus, the sub-2000 can easily be disassembled for cleaning or inspection without extra tools to carry in your pack. From now until March 2024, Kel-Tec is offering a $100 rebate program on any newly purchased sub-2000 from a licensed dealer. Buy a Kel-Tec sub-2000, get $100. So if you've been waiting for the right time to buy an American original, consider this your invitation and visit KelTecWeapons.com today. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about the sub-2000 and $100 rebate program. KelTecWeapons.com.
56% of adults feel behind on retirement. Are you one of them? People are living longer, which means people need more saved up. Make sure to not fall trapped to a guide that tells you when you should retire, because everyone's situation is different. Are you going to have to work longer? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so, for crying out loud, Canada is going to legalize medically assisted dying for people who are addicted to drugs. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, Dana, this is, you can't let something like this pass. It is like for real Friday. You want me to be super real? If somebody wants to just go ahead and be a self-cleaning oven, I mean, I don't want to legalize it, but I'm done with stupid people. Maybe it means fewer stupid people. I might have more grace later on. Right now, though, I don't. I really don't. I mean, it's sad. Some drug users, user activists, have likened the move to eugenics. They say Canada should be funding more harm reduction. Or, we all know that drugs are addictive. Maybe don't do drugs. Maybe stop. Stop it. You don't need to have government money come and spend for harm reduction. I'll slap you for free. See? It's problem solved. You know the problem is not enough people were whipped when they were kids. You got to get whooped, whether it's with a wooden spoon or something. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Now we got a bunch of spoiled childs. A mysterious mermaid globster. I don't even know what this is. Has washed up in Papua New Guinea. Nobody knows what it is. It looks gross. It looks like a giant snake with a mermaid tail, and it's nasty, and it's gross, and it's covered with white goo, and I'm just pretty sure that this is an alien, and this is how it starts. Get away from it. It looks like a giant lobster tail, and I hate bug meat. All right, so soaking in a hot tub has the same health benefits as going for a 30-minute jog, say people who don't think, as I do, that it's human soup. Because it is. You're sitting in soup. It's a soup of you. That's what it is. Soaking in a hot tub has the same health benefits as going for a 30-minute jog. I mean, that's fine. I don't like jacuzzis either. Because you know why? Because it's a soup. It's a soup of you. You are making a stew of yourself. See, right? You guys all have a new perspective on this now.
You're ruining it for me.
And you're seasoning yourself. Bath salts, you're literally seasoning yourself. If it were like Attack on Titans and some Titans came in, they'd be like, thank you for preparing yourself for a meal for me. That's exactly what this would be like. Let's see. Scientists discover an off switch for Shigella bacterial infections. We could treat diseases before they even begin, say scientists. Do we have an off switch for some people talking, particularly brand new people who are into politics on Twitter? St. Louis Zoo elephant Ranny dies after a rowdy dog scares her to death and she collapsed. Why was a rowdy dog at the zoo in the first place? And a loose dog got into the zoo and ran around. I mean, how does that even happen? They have staff there. Stick with us because we got a lot more in store as we roll towards the bottom of this first hour.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
About their daily lives. And I know many of you in the Muslim American community, the Arab American community, the Palestinian American community, and so many others are outraged and hearty, saying to yourselves, here we go again with Islamophobia and distrust we saw after 9/11. Just last week, a mother was brutally stabbed. A little boy, here in the United States, a little boy.
So that's the one example that he's going to use. And the difference is that the old crazy dude who stabbed the little boy, you don't see sitting members of Congress out there flying a flag of support for him and saying that, oh, he's just doing what he needs to do to free things. That's what a stupid remark. What an absolute, who in the hell thinks that this was a good speech? It wasn't. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. That's the president from last night. That floored me. What about all the dead Jewish kids? Let's start there. What about all the college kids? I have a friend whose kids are Jewish and they're on a college campus in New York. And it's amazing to me. One of them is in med school. So they kind of, I'm like, okay, yeah, if you're rearranging people's guts, that's my rule. You got to go to college. And my friend was telling me that their daughter feels like she's never witnessed this type of stuff before. And there is actual hostility towards Jewish students, particularly at some of these bigger universities and particularly in the Northeast. Like, I don't know what's happening with that part of the world, but, and it's no, there's no mention of that. You know that attacks like on synagogues, etc., had been increasing just before all of this happened. He's going to go, everybody's clinging to that one story of that one old dude who attacked a six-year-old. Clinging to that story as though that's the one that apparently is that one story is greater than all of the other stories that's come out about people who were tortured to death, and then it was filmed with their own phones and posted to their own private personal social media accounts or public social media accounts, or the kids that were shot in the head. And yes, there were kids that had their heads cut off. All of that. He has to use that as a way to try to make it like a both sides thing. There's no both sides here. And you don't see, like I said, people out in the street protesting for the old man that killed the six-year-old. That's exactly what Rashida Tlaib and others are doing in support of the people who killed all of the kids over in Israel. There's no both sides here. And it's really unfortunate that Hamas, who does not care about its people at all, by the way, they Hamas, I say this and I'm going to always say this, they were elected in 2006. And the reason that they haven't had another election really is because you have Abbas, who's terrified that Hamas would win at more in more than just Gaza. I mean, it's all part of the same, you know, Palestinian Authority group. They're all under that umbrella. But Abbas doesn't want to lose any control. He's the chair of Fatah. He doesn't want to lose control. He doesn't want Hamas to take. Hamas already beat Fatah in Gaza. He doesn't want that to happen in West Bank. That's the only reason why they haven't had another election. So spare me this. Hamas chose this. This is what they chose as part of their leadership. They chose not to live in peace. Now, he also said this, audio soundbite 3. Now, remember, we had our deputy national security advisor who on, what was it, CNN or MSNBC yesterday said that they could not actually certainly guarantee that Hamas wasn't going to seize this aid. They're going to watch it, though. They're going to, like, really be supervising it closely. Listen to this, audio soundbite 3.
Look, at the same time, President Netanyahu and I discussed again yesterday the critical need for Israel to operate by the laws of war. That means protecting civilians in combat as best as they can. And the people of Gaza urgently need food, water, and medicine. Yesterday, in discussions with the leaders of Israel and Egypt, I secured an agreement for the first shipment of humanitarian assistance from the United Nations to Palestinian civilians in Gaza. If Hamas does not divert or steal this shipment, these shipments, we're going to provide an opening for sustained delivery of life-saving humanitarian assistance for the Palestinians.
Hmm. Now, you had the deputy secretary yesterday, like I said, who really couldn't answer the question. This audio that I just dropped in, this is the Biden State Department spokesperson, Matt Miller. He says that there's some concerns. And wait, why are we giving $100 million in aid if there's concerns that Hamas is going to divert some of the aid package intended for Gaza and West Bank for the whole bit of it's going to be for their personal use? Listen to this.
I think the concern the Israeli government has, and they've said this publicly and they certainly said it privately to us, is that any assistance that goes in will be diverted once it's inside Gaza. That there's not an Israeli military force in Gaza. There's not a UN peacekeeping force in Gaza. The people with guns inside Gaza are Hamas. And so Hamas may try to divert this assistance and keep it from getting to the civilians who it is intended for. We think that's a legitimate concern. We've made clear that this aid needs to go to innocent civilians and not Hamas. We're going to be watching very carefully how it's delivered because we want to be sensitive to those concerns, which we share.
So that means they know it's fact. It's a concern because they know it's going to happen. So why in the hell are we giving them $100 million in aid? Why are we giving them any aid? You're funding conflict. This is so damn stupid. You're funding then both sides having conflict. That's exactly what this is. This is asinine. Absolutely asinine. You know what the United States and everybody else needs to do is they need to get off Israel's back and let them finish what Hamas started, and that's the end of it. Oh, you don't like that outcome? You know why? Because it means Hamas is going to get rocked off the face of God's green earth. That's why. And they should be. Every single damn one of them should be sent to the ugliest virgins in hell. I just, there's no other way. Because how many decades have they refused to live in peace? They're never going to live in peace. And the reason, one of the reasons that's fueled them in not living in peace is because Israel's always listened to what the world has said. Oh, don't be too harsh. Don't be too mean. Yes, we know that they're sending over suicide bombers and killing you and actually paying a martyr stipend to terrorist families when they send over their husbands and brothers and fathers and sons over to murder innocent people. We're going to go ahead and give them some of that aid money in the form of a martyr stipend. That's why under the previous administration, they actually stopped giving money to Gaza. And that's one of the first things, the spigots that Biden turned on after he was inaugurated. And, you know, interestingly enough, literally right after Biden was inaugurated, he also took the Houthi off of the terror list so that he could make Iran happy, because the Houthi had previously been designated, rightfully so, as a terrorist group. But Biden, upon inauguration, literally within the first week, he decided to remove the Houthi from the terrorist list. Isn't that interesting? This is going to go on and keep going on and keep going on until it ends. And Israel has got to end it. And we shouldn't be sending 100 million aid in Gaza. Gaza is not our responsibility. It's not our responsibility. No, it's not at all. You don't sit here and fund the people, the ruling class that's carrying out a terror campaign. Hamas chose this. Hamas wouldn't let its people leave. You wanted to FA. Welcome to the FO world of geopolitics, where your feelings don't matter squat. They don't matter. No one cares. Because at this point, it's a game about logic and numbers. It's about strategy. Hamas wanted this. Hamas is getting it. Don't bitch about it now. As far as the House, I still hate everybody there. The entire House of Representatives, as the world burns, they've showed that they've really got their fingers on the pulse of everything. If you don't dislike every single person involved in this at this point, I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm sorry. I wanted Jim Jordan as Speaker if we're not going to have, you know, if we got to do this now, because I still think that Matt Gaetz is one of the dumbest people in the House by deciding to do all of this. I'm going to blow up the speakership. Well, hell no, I don't have no substitute and I don't got a plan B. I just want to go. And now look at it. We're in this mess. This is an issue, by the way, that Republicans should be owning. Do you see any of these Republicans out there? Any of these people fighting for speakership out there pushing to go after Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar? Can you imagine if we actually had the entity that we control in D.C., the House, and we went after some of these Democrats who were siding with Hamas? Now, I'm not talking about criticizing Netanyahu or the judicial reforms that everyone in Israel was arguing over. I'm talking about they literally do not believe that Israel has a right to exist as a sovereign entity, which is why they've happily participated in different protests where they scream about from the river to the sea, which is a genocidal chant. Absolutely. You could have had the House putting pressure on this. You could have the House demanding that the president of the United States address people in his own party, especially when Rashida Tlaib was calling out Joe Biden by name day before last. And instead, every single day, one of these people are power jockeying and people are dragging it on and on and on. It is one of the stupidest things I have ever seen in my political career. And it's coming from Republicans. I don't care if I have friends that like Matt Gaetz and they're like, well, Dana, I don't give a rat's ass if you like Matt Gaetz. This is stupid. Whether or not you like Matt Gaetz, whether or not you like what his record has no bearing on the fact that him deciding to do this without a backup plan was stupid. Are we smart people? Isn't that why we're constitutionalists? Because we're smart. We're smart people because we believe that you should always be prepared. Is that not correct? Because that's why I'm a constitutionalist. I don't like going into things unprepared. That's weak. Because then you find yourself in compromising positions where you got to negotiate from a position of weakness. That's it. So what's happening here? They need to get this straight. I'm so tired of, I don't care who you want. All these people are ego-filleting fame seekers. All of them. Every one of them. I'm mad at all of them. There's, what, third round now? Third round. Are you kidding me? We should be owning this issue. You should have had a speaker and a House say, have a press conference this morning. Actually, they should have had it last night right after his address and say, no, Mr. President, we are not going to be tying Ukraine to Israel. No, Mr. President, we are not going to be sending $100 million in aid to the terrorist government of Gaza. No, Mr. President, we are not going to be the world's bank, especially, Mr. President, when our southern border is wide open. No, Mr. President, we're not doing it. They could have. That's what they should have done. The reason you didn't see that last night, and the reason you haven't seen it today, and the reason you haven't seen a single damn House Republican talk about it is because they're all power jockeying right now for Speaker. That's why. You don't dislike them enough.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And if Putin attacks a NATO ally, we will defend every inch of NATO which the treaty requires and calls for. We'll have something that we do not seek. Make it clear, we do not seek. We do not seek to have American troops fighting in Russia or fighting against Russia.
Well, I want you to do me a favor. That was the president from last night. I'm so glad that we're not going to have troops in Russia. I mean, the hell, Joe. Days of these United States. I want you to just like get a screen grab of him and just put it side by side real quick, because I got a question for the people watching the simulcast. And again, you can listen to the radio show across the country. You can stream the radio show, and you can also have the fun treat of watching the simulcast. Some hair days are better than others. So as Juan does that, I noticed something yesterday. And then the internet does what the internet does best, and that was deliver memes. So, yeah, you can throw that up on the screen. We can half and half. We can do a two and two. Because I want everyone watching the simulcast. I'm curious about this. It's very apparent when you look at the footage of him on the plane, of Joe Biden on the plane. Was that last night that he was on the plane? And he was all like real tired, and he could hardly. And I noticed it then because the lighting was real harsh. Someone had, you know, a camera, obviously, and they had a big giant camera light with them. And I saw it then. So here's my question. I'm going to look at the images. And he's going to, Juan's also getting the airplane image. He's also getting, oh man, you can really see what I'm talking about there. Probably even better than even the Oval Office one. Here's the question that I have. As he gets that ready to rock. And remember, he was on the plane just yesterday, so there's not a lot of... It looks like they made him up or puffed his face up when he was did the Oval Office address last night. I noticed that.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Why does he have chin balls? I'm not wrong. I need you to look at it, Kane. Look at the chin balls.
Can we
why?
Not?
I don't need to see that.
Yeah, I had to, so you do too, because you're the producer.
I saw that yesterday, and the memes are still out today.
I saw a picture of it, and somebody photoshopped his chin in Nancy Pelosi's swimsuit when she was on her European vacation on the beach. I mean, I've seen some cleavage before in my time, but I've never seen it on a actually physically a part of a man's chin. I've got questions. How does that happen? Number one. Why does it happen? Number two. And why couldn't they fix it? Number three. I have never seen anything like... Does anybody have any ideas? Now, see, this is where the chat comes into play. Because now, they're all scheming. I couldn't take my eyes off it, man. You got chin balls, Jack. What's up?
Come on.
Dude.
Some of Twitter thinks that's a mask that Biden was wearing on the plane.
That he was wearing a chin ball mask?
Yeah, that he was wearing a mask.
Maybe he's got like super squirrel capabilities and he, I don't know, like, you know how when you were a kid and you'd put a lot of gum in your mouth? Maybe he's got some room down there, you know? You know, some people wear a belt bag. He's got a chin strap. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how that happens because his face never looked like that before. Okay, I can literally almost hear my mom typing. It's probably because it's a stand-in president, Dana. Stop it. Don't you message her and encourage this. Stand-in
wearing a mask.
But I mean, I don't get it. Why? How do you have that? I mean, you got a normal chin. You're a dude. All you dudes got normal chins.
Yeah. Peter Griffin?
Yeah, like I don't understand that. I just don't get it. So I don't know. I just, that's Days of these United States. I know he said something there, but I could not get past the chin situation. So coming up, media malpractice, and why was no one concerned about that other hospital that was hit? An actual hospital that was hit, not a parking lot. Stick with us.
But there is a great opportunity for disinformation, especially on social media. I caution you to be very careful about what you choose to believe and on what basis. The horrific scene at a hospital in Gaza today, an explosion that killed more than 500 people.
The government in Gaza says the Israeli Defense Forces struck a hospital in the center of Gaza City.
An airstrike hit a Gaza City hospital, killing at least 500 people.
It's because of an alleged Israeli airstrike on a hospital in Gaza that Hamas health officials say killed more than 500 people.
And when you're talking about 500 people, you have to wonder how many of those people are innocent civilians.
At minimum, hundreds of people have been killed in what they say was an Israeli airstrike.
Where a hospital was caved in, killing hundreds and stranding an untold number under the concrete.
By far, the deadliest Israeli airstrike ever.
Hundreds taking shelter at a Gaza City hospital were killed in an Israeli airstrike today. Israel says it was targeting Hamas hideouts.
Palestinian officials saying at least 500 people killed in what they claim was an Israeli airstrike.
After headline after headline after headline after headline. And none of them offered a retraction. None of them offered a correction. None of them offered an apology when it was shown that it was actually Hamas. It was a terrorist group that misfired a rocket and hit the parking lot of a hospital. I don't know what the hell 500 people were doing in a parking lot in the middle of the night, but, you know, I'm not a terrorist propagandist. Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour, Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. Here's one of the things, because the media was so busy. They were so busy running defense and taking absolute lies from Hamas and running it as verified news. I saw this yesterday. I was listening to testimony, and it was someone who was asking the United Nations. It was the ambassador to the United States on behalf of Israel. And the question came up, where was the United Nations? You know, because the United Nations issued a statement, all these people issued a statement, all of the unrest and destabilization that you're seeing is because of the story. In fact, our own travel department, our State Department here in the United States issued a travel advisory, just a generic worldwide travel advisory for all Americans traveling overseas right now, all because of this story, this lie that went around the world and nobody offered a correction. Some reporters and even lawmakers like Rashida Tlaib refused to even acknowledge the truth of the story. But where were all of these people, and where was the United Nations, and where was CNN, and where was the Associated Press and Reuters and Agence France-Presse and the BBC and the Guardian and everyone else? Where were they last week when Hamas fired at the Barzilai Medical Center in Ashkelon? You realize that before Hamas fired rockets and hit a parking lot of one of its own hospitals, last week they fired rockets at an Israeli hospital. And even before then, if you would like to look years back, there are other hospitals that they fired rockets at. But for the sake of discussion for this particular terrorist atrocity, let's just talk about the time span of the past 4 weeks. Where was the media attention when Hamas fired missiles at an Israeli hospital in Ashkelon last week? Where was CNN? Where was the Associated Press and The Guardian and The Telegraph and Agence France-Presse and the BBC and Reuters and the whole lot of them? Where were they at? Where was the United Nations? Where was Rashida Tlaib? Where was Ilhan Omar? Where was the Hamas caucus of the Democrat Party? Where were all of the college students who are protesting about the parking lot that Hamas hit Where were all of they last week when Hamas fired at the Barzilai Medical Center in Ashkelon? Why didn't the United Nations call for a meeting of its Security Council last week when Hamas fired rockets at an Israeli hospital? Why weren't college students out protesting last week when Hamas fired rockets at an Israeli hospital? Why weren't any of these reporters writing stories about this after Hamas fired rockets at an Israeli hospital? Why was there no regional unrest that spread as a result of Hamas firing rockets at an Israeli hospital? That's because people don't care and they want dead Jews. That's the truth of it, because they don't care. They only pretend to care if Hamas kills its own citizens and kills its own kids, and then they stage them. I will never get over that photo of these doctors in their clean white coats. They all look pressed like they just stepped out of a bandbox. They're clean white coats, and they stood in front of a hospital that was untouched in the daytime, by the way. And they staged the area. Hamas staged the area. It's Hamas because the Palestinian Health Ministry is Hamas. They piled up these bodies around them. Did you see? And they had these other Hamas apologists hold the bodies of what they said were dead children. I'm just curious why all these people were in a parking lot in the middle of the night, because that's supposedly when the attack happened. And actually, that according to the geo-tracking and the time-stamped, the coding, the metadata, and all of the video that has been made publicly available, and our own American intelligence has confirmed it, as well as the intel departments of other countries, that it was Hamas, because this never left Gazan airspace, that destroyed a parking lot of its own hospital. But where did they get all these dead bodies at? Why were these people all in a parking lot in the middle of the night? I mean, it wasn't a very big parking lot. How do you get 500 people crammed into that size of a parking lot in the middle of the night? Why were they all in the parking lot in the middle of the night? Has anybody in the press bothered to ask those types of questions when they were kissing the ass of Hamas? I'm curious. Why no press conference and attention to the Barzilai Medical Center? You realize that they had been attacked four times. This was just the fourth time in recent, like in the past year, that they've been attacked. In fact, the first rocket that was fired at them hit a bridge that was used to connect two main buildings on campus. So in addition to this Israeli, the ambassador to Israel here in the United States demanding to this information from the United Nations, our friend Julio Rosas was talking to Dr. Gili Gavati, who is the deputy director of the Barzilai Medical Center. And Dr. Gavati was explaining how they had this bridge that connected their buildings that was utterly destroyed, and that one of the rockets decimated the hospital's child development ward. I'm just curious as to where all of the headlines were about that. And literally as of yesterday, you had construction crews that were there on site in Ashkelon at the Barzilai Medical Center who were clearing the rubble from the previous attacks that Hamas had made on the hospital. The hospital serves 500,000 people who live in southern Israel. And they treat everybody. And they have this hospital that is directly targeted repeatedly. You have all of these. I mean, did you see all of the fires that were being set at embassies around the world? Did you see the rioting in Turkey? Did you see the riots that were taking place in Greece? I'm sure you saw the violent, I mean, they were bordering on violence, protests in New York City. Have you seen all of these professionals that have come out? Rage-filled, hate-filled. There are people, I think, that were excited. They were excited. Remember how I got up and I said that the press love death? And they got so mad at me. I have never once been proven wrong. And they still do today. You had people, including members of the press, that were so excited about the possibility of, oh my gosh, here's some evidence that Israel did something untoward against Hamas. They ran with a literal Hamas claim without even doing so much as a basic due diligence to verify whether or not any of this reporting was true. They were just so happy to have something some cherry-picked confirmation bias affirm their claim, affirm their bigotry, affirm their bias. And they ran with it. There were other people like Huda Kattan, who does that crappy Huda beauty line and all this other stuff, that were so excited. I think that they had this, that this story, they just wanted to use something to go after Jewish people over. They really didn't care. None of these people give a rat's ass about anybody who lives in Gaza. That's why you never see them take issue with Hamas for digging up water pipes and making the water pipes into bombs, or stealing all of the aid that was meant for sewage infrastructure and using that to dig more tunnels and buy more rockets, or to use the pipes that they ended up sending because they were using the money for terrorist implements. Then they took those pipes and they used those as bombs. No one ever got mad at Hamas for stealing all the aid that the UN gave. No one ever gets mad at Hamas and holds them accountable. Those are the people that do the most to cruelly mistreat those who live in Gaza. These people who claim that they care so much for the lives of Gazans never can seem to criticize the actual elected governing authority of Gaza that makes their lives a living hell in the hellscape they call the Strip. I didn't see Rashida Tlaib say anything about the Ashkelon hospital that had been bombed by Hamas four times. I didn't see that. I didn't see anything from her. Not at all. Julio Rosas' video of doctors at this medical center. It's pretty amazing that you didn't hear a single bit about that in the press, did you? Some of you are hearing about it for the very first time. You didn't hear it at all. And some people still don't know. No, but there's still, and this wasn't a parking lot that was hit. It was the hospital itself that was hit. They didn't have to stage anything. Hamas has to stage stuff. It's sickening. But that's what they do. It is a war of information. And you have people that are so willing and so eager to confirm their bigotry and have some kind of reason. They need some kind of reason as to why they hate these people. They want to rationalize it. That's why so many of them so excitedly ate up that Hamas propaganda. And in the meantime, it still continues, the fallout from that fake story, the fake claim. I told you that there was a worldwide travel advisory that had been issued because from the State Department. Yesterday, they issued a travel advisory to American citizens who were traveling overseas due to escalated tensions from the attack on Israel and the riots that were spreading throughout Europe. They've warned American State Department and British government have also warned their citizens to leave Lebanon because of Hezbollah's increased violence against Israel at the country's southern border. Get out of Lebanon now, they say. They were joined by Germany, France, and Spain. Get out now. Over a fake Hamas story, but not over the real hospital that was actually bombed.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So first up, over the counter, the CVS is pulling over the counter flu medicines, including Sudafed and Benadryl, after the FDA said that they don't work. They don't work because they had to remove the ingredient that made them work. You blockheads. Oh my gosh. They had to take out the ingredient that made it to where it wasn't really over the counter. And that's why they don't work, because the same government that says now they don't work literally made them remove the ingredient that made them work. This is so stupid. September home sales dropped to the lowest level since the foreclosure crisis, according to CNBC. None of this is getting worse. The housing market, or none of this, sorry, none of this is getting better, I should say. Existing home sales dropped to the slowest pace since October of 2010. There were 1.13 million homes for sale at the end of September, down from more than 8% a year ago. And adding to higher mortgage rates, the median price of a home sold in September was $394,300. That's up 2.8% year over year. So, not looking better. A Skyfox pilot was injured after a seagull shattered the chopper windshield. Jiminy Christmas. They made a very heroic emergency landing, but pilot Mike Sipian was flying the helicopter from Kenosha, Wisconsin, back to Chicago. It was about 11 in the morning when the strike happened. The seagull flew into the front window, shattering it. striking Saipien in the face. He was able to keep the chopper steady and landed it safely in a field in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Good heavens. There was a photographer on board who was not injured that I bet just absolutely lost. I mean, just wet himself, I'm sure. That had to have been a terrifying moment. Good heavens. Amazon is going to start testing drones that are going to drop prescriptions on your doorstep. This is not going to end well, just going to say. I mean, especially if you know that there's going to be prescription medication flying everywhere. I don't know what I think about this, man. They said that College Station, Texas, you can now get prescriptions delivered by drone within an hour of placing your order. It's programmed to fly from a delivery center with a secure pharmacy, travel to the customer's address, descend to a height of about 4 feet, and drop a padded package. And they're going to be able to choose from 500 medications, and including for common things like flu or pneumonia, but no controlled substances. No controlled substances. And a man's body was mistaken for a Halloween prop, and the lawnmower mowed around him.
Oh.
Yeah, they thought Robert Bowen's body in China Grove, and they thought it was a prop, and it wasn't. It was an actual dead body. Stay with us.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
American leadership is what holds the world together. American alliances are what keep us, America, safe. American values are what make us a partner that other nations want to work with. To put all that at risk, if we walk away from Ukraine, if we turn our backs on Israel, it's just not worth it. That's why tomorrow I'm going to send to Congress an urgent budget request to fund America's national security needs, to support our critical partners, including Israel and Ukraine. It's a smart investment that's going to pay dividends for American security for generations. Help us keep American troops out of harm's way. Help us build a world that is safer, more peaceful, more prosperous for our children and grandchildren.
So does any of that include, closing the southern border? Or at least securing the southern border? Because if it doesn't, then what's the point of having this conversation at all? Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. Bottom of this second hour. What is the point of any of this if there's not going to be an effort to control the southern border? I mean, don't make it out to be like, oh, we're doing something great. Oh, except for our own security as it is at the southern border. They're going to try. I'm telling you what they're going to do. They're going to try, which they've already said. They want to hold, if there requires it, any aid with regards to Israel to Ukraine. And then there, because this $106 billion package, then they're going to demand that the House pass it. And they're using the House chaos right now as a way to build their leverage. Did I say good timing again? Yeah, good timing. That's exactly what they want to do. So this package includes $7 billion. They say they want to use $7 billion to counter China and strengthen allies in the Pacific region. And they want $9 billion for aid to Gaza and then Israel and then Ukraine. And they also want the big, they're trying to bolster the support that is really waning for Ukraine by trying to tie this to Israel, because they know that there's bipartisan support for assisting Israel. And so they want to use that as a way to trick you into supporting the funding for Ukraine too. And this is in addition to the $43.9 billion in security assistance that we've already spent on Ukraine since February of last year. They made this earlier request. Current spending levels are as what they are until the House gets it together. And so they were trying to, his whole point of his speech wasn't even about Israel. The focus wasn't about Israel even. The focus wasn't even, he didn't even mention the American hostages, Jiminy Christmas. No, it was about Ukraine. He tried to make it about tying everything to Ukraine. Good grief. That's shameful. And this money that they want to spend No. No. Why are we having this conversation still? No. $106 billion on this. And we don't even, we've been called hateful for demanding accountability of the last billions that we sent over there. And so this breakdown, this, I'm looking at this aid package because you're, I it gave you an idea. You have what, $105.85 billion approximately, $61 billion in military aid for Ukraine, $14 for Israel. That's on top of the almost $44 billion that we've already sent to Ukraine. And then they want $10 billion for humanitarian aid, $7 billion just to help Taiwan. They want to give more to Gaza than they want to spend to Taiwan. I'm just saying, if you are, I agree. I hear what you're saying. You don't want to spend money on anything. I get it. But if you're, I would consider Taiwan is way more of an asset to us than Gaza. I don't think we should spend a damn flipping dime on anything in Gaza or West Bank. Taiwan, this is where our chips are made. Yeah, you know what? Here's geopolitical politics for the newbies, the newbie drive-bys who literally have no idea what any geopolitical issue is. They've never taken a political course. They have no idea about anything outside of their backyard. Yes, you are absolutely right. The whole focus of strategizing in a geopolitical sphere is how does it best benefit your security interests? The end. Taiwan is the world's top manufacturer for all of those chips that the tech bros love, but also that we depend on for a lot of things besides recreational devices, our phones, that things like that. They're more of a strategic partner than the Hamas government in Gaza. Good heavens. So it is, yes, it's about how does this best benefit the United States? It benefits the United States to assist Taiwan or to assist Israel. It doesn't benefit us at all to assist terrorists that hate us in Gaza and West Bank. Pound sand. Don't care. That's a consequence of Hamas being terrorists and deciding to FA and FO. You're going to find out, as for the FO part, you're going to find out that people are not going to be particularly sympathetic to terrorists, especially after they take American hostages. So, no, I can't believe that we're giving aid to the terrorist government that has captured and held and holds American hostages. That is insane to me. But that's what this administration is doing, because that's what the Biden administration does best. They help China make money, and they have advertised that you can make a killing by taking American hostages and we'll give you billions. That's what they do, especially if you're tied to Iran. So this is how they want to break all this down. $60 billion to Ukraine, $14 billion to Israel. They said they want to spend some on border security, $10 billion for Gaza. That's just asinine. Asinine. You got to be kidding me. But that's what they want. That's what he's proposing. And like I said, if Republicans in the House had their stuff together, they could have had a presser yesterday. They could have had one today saying, no, Mr. President, we are absolutely sure as hell not going to be giving no money to no terrorist government so long as, well, because they took American hostages. And even after all those American hostages have returned, we're not going to do anything to assist. We're going to stand back and let Israel do what Israel needs to do in order to finish what Hamas started. No, Mr. President, we're not giving another $60 billion to Ukraine, particularly when we don't even know where the other $44 to $45 billion that we gave to Ukraine, we have no idea where that went. Otherwise, it looks like a giant money laundering op for you and your white trash family. So no, we're not going to, Mr. President, be giving any more money to Ukraine and to help drag out this conflict over land. We're not doing that. No, Mr. President, we're not going to pass anything that doesn't include more funding for the southern border than anything else, to secure the southern border, to make sure that we have the boots on the ground to do so, to make sure that we have the force multipliers necessary that has been repeatedly requested by Border Patrol. We need that before we do anything, Mr. President. That's what a strong House conference would be doing right now. And instead, they are checks, notes, slap fighting over power jockeying. And I'm supposed to think it's like a heroic thing that somebody went in and blew up without any kind of strategy or plan. Can people stop standing for Matt Gaetz? Any of these people? By the way, calling Matt Gaetz a moron isn't saying that you like Kevin McCarthy, because I think they're both the same person. I think that Kevin McCarthy is the future Matt Gaetz, and Matt Gaetz is the past Kevin McCarthy, if I'm being honest. And Juan has the picture of Joe Biden up with chin balls on the simulcast. You can't unsee it. For those of you watching the simulcast, you look at that and you try to unsee it. Now, you can't. You can't. You can't at all. You almost... No, I'm not going to say it. Not going to say it.
Look away.
I mean, look, Juan made it bigger, so you could all really get in there and look.
Look away.
I mean, what's up? Kane, can we just have a quick convo? What's up with that?
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, the meme creators have delivered. The meme brigade. I mean, really, that's what the internet, that's really what it's good for. So, if we had a strong house, that's what they would be saying. If we had a strong house, you know, they could have gotten together and they could have blasted Rashida Tlaib as well. And yet another press conference saying, where were you, Rashida, when the Israeli hospital in Ashkelon got bombed last week? Yeah, an actual hospital that got bombed. In fact, it decimated the children's ward. But you don't care because you hate Jews and it's an Israeli hospital. So you don't care. You ignored it. And then you got super upset and acted like a parking lot that Hamas misfired a rocket onto and destroyed in the middle of the night is the same thing as bombing a hospital. And then you won't hold Hamas responsible for it. You've gotten mad at Israel for it. Makes no sense to me. But it's Rashida Tlaib. I mean, when you're a terrorist apologist, you don't have to make sense. You're a terrorist apologist. I mean, that's like, it's kind of, it's self-explanatory, right? Good heavens. And so, listen to this, audio soundbite 9. This correction to CNN, when CNN kept trying to both sides it. Listen to this. I thought this was well done.
I do also want to talk about this floating the narratives or the claims. There are no two sides to this hospital. Either it was bombed by Israel or it was targeted by someone else on the Palestinian side. And, you know, if two people come and say, one says it's raining outside and the other says it's dry, you don't bring the quotes of both sides. You just goddamn open the window and look whether it's raining or not. That's what we did. And this hospital, in fact, it's a parking lot, was hit definitely 100% by Islamic Jihad barrage, shot, fired at 6:59 p.m. We have three different.
Yep. Good. Yeah, there's no both sides to the story, and there isn't. Where's the concern again? Just the Ashkelon Hospital? Haven't seen any? Okay. In the meantime, the MTV EMAs, are these the European music? Nobody cares because they don't play videos anymore. They canceled amid the Israel-Hamas war. I would say the Hamas attack on Israel. Thanks. They say it does not feel like a moment for global celebration. So out of an abundance of caution, they were canceling their little MTV thingy over in Paris. Well, hell, if it's in Paris, I would too, because they've just let every Tom, Dick, and Harry into their country, so nobody knows who's who. Who knows? I mean, we're kind of doing the same thing, though. I mean, have you seen our southern border while all this is happening? Have you seen our southern border? In the meantime, you have a U.S. Navy warship near Yemen intercepted multiple missiles yesterday, according to numerous reports, and I think they did confirm it. They were fired by the Houthi group, the Houthi terrorist group. They're all a bunch of little absolutely backward savage groups. So these are the Iranian-backed Houthis. They sounds like a damn Star Wars, sounds like a Tatooine tribe, the Houthi militants, who are engaged in ongoing conflict in Yemen. 2 to 3 missiles intercepted, according to the second official. Now, they've been, you got two carrier strike groups out there. You also have the U.S., what is it, amphibious assault ship. Then you have USS Mount Whitney that's on its way, that I think was off of the coast of Italy, out in the Mediterranean. So that's on its way. And that's apparently the one where you have, what, the vice admiral? Some Navy bigwig that's on that boat. That's... Man, that is a show of force if ever there was a show of force. Peace through strength. You know, that's a lot easier, having peace through strength than trying to fight all of the countries of the world because you messed up by not having peace through strength. And the Houthis, they're particularly, I mean, again, they go through, they're in the Persian Gulf, They're in, sometimes they're near the Suez, but they said that they're trying to, they couldn't for certain say what the missiles and drones were targeting, but they were launched from Yemen. They were headed north along the Red Sea, potentially towards targets in Israel. That's what they were suggesting. So that's wild that they would fire. I mean, that's a pretty decent journey for those things. So there's the buildup is happening, and there's concern that this could grow even more. And you know what really kicked it off again was that fake story. That fake story pushed it and escalated it into a whole other level.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I've heard of things getting heated in the carpool line at school, but I never heard of getting this heated. A Florida man pulls a switchblade on moms in a school carpool line during an argument with his wife, say police. He has found himself, this Florida man, in Lady Lake behind bars again after allegedly threatening three moms during school drop-off with a switchblade when they got into an apparent argument with his wife, according to Lady Lake Police. John Henry Birch Jr. was arrested and charged with three counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, one count of assault after the incident unfolded outside of the Villages Elementary of Lady Lake School. Now, how is that the Villages Elementary School? Because none of these people are 50. Right. I don't get this. I'm very confused about how they name stuff there. All right, so the incident was 8:40 in the morning. The three women went to drop off their kids at school together. One of them got into an argument with a woman during drop off. One of the moms said a woman stepped on her foot. It escalated. It got aggressive. And neck-tatted daddy showed up with his switchblade knife. He jumped out of his truck and began to yell. And he says, "I ain't afraid to go back to prison. I'm going to slice your throat," according to one of the women. She told police. During the argument, he went back, got a switchblade. And then the women said Birch told them that he knows what their kids look like and where they go to school. Birch's wife said the women apparently one became worried, withdrew their kids from class, etc. So, yeah, you can't be doing that stuff, okay? You can't. I don't know. But he said that he was approached by the women. I don't know. It sounds like he's a little bit of aggressive, so he's in a lot of trouble. Good grief. Why are people like this? I don't know. You're asking me. A Florida man blames bad dreams for damaging his brother-in-law's car at 1 a.m., according to deputies. This is in Marion County, Florida. A Florida man found himself behind bars after a late-night encounter where he drunkenly, quote-unquote, bumped into his future brother-in-law's car, causing hundreds of dollars worth of damage. And he said that he was at his relative's house at 1 in the morning because he was having bad dreams. Hector Diaz, he was having some bad dreams, and he got himself charged with felony criminal mischief after the incident. The sister called the cops after hearing a noise outside their house. She looked out, saw her brother walking around the fiance's car. When the fiance woke up in the next morning, both of his side mirrors were broken, hanging from the car. So, yeah, it sounds like it's more than a bump. I mean, he looks like he's kind of a hefty dude, but I mean, you know, that looks like a lot of work to make that happen. Let's see. A Florida man tells deputies, "These aren't my pants," when they found drugs inside of the pants he was wearing. Santa Rosa County, Florida. A man was arrested after deputies found drugs in his pants, according to the arrest report. Myra Hamilton, 47, was also homeless. Was arrested on two drug charges in Santa Rosa County. They were serving a warrant on him. And when they found him inside his tent, they had him come out. He kept saying, "Those aren't my pants," that he was wearing. They were his pants, the arrest report said. He's in jail on an almost $9,000 bond. Third hour on the way.
Beyond Europe, we know that our allies and maybe most importantly, our adversaries and competitors are watching. They're watching our response in Ukraine as well. And if we walk away and let Putin erase Ukraine's independence, would-be aggressors around the world would be emboldened to try the same. The risk of conflict and chaos could spread in other parts of the world, in the Indo-Pacific, in the Middle East, especially in the Middle East. Iran is supporting Russia's in Ukraine, and is supporting Hamas.
Good grief. So Biden saying, that's from his remarks last night, which I still maintain were horrible. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. And you can listen to the program across the country. You can stream the program as well. You can watch the simulcast YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. He's arguing that if we allow Putin to erase Ukraine's independence, do they have independence? Because they did shut down a lot of their media outlets. Let's not have a contest to see who has the more communistic approach. Okay. But that's not our responsibility. Not my problem. That's Europe's issue. Let them deal with it. Let them deal with it. You deal with the issue. I grew up hearing that the United States was a nation-building busybody. I grew up hearing that not only was the United States a nation-building busybody, but that we always tried to, we were involved in everything, involved in every conflict. Okay, well then let's be true to that criticism and let's make it right and let's not be. Let them sort it all out. I mean, we should be doing that anyway. Let them sort it out because it's not our responsibility. It's not our responsibility to provide. There were discussions to resolve this issue before the West, I think, got in and inflamed the situation and then, I think, brought Ukraine away from the negotiating table. I just don't think it's our responsibility because it doesn't affect our national security interests. They're arguing over a piece of land. And it's it's to tie it to Israel, I think, is insane, specious, and is a betrayal of education on the area. It's not even, there's no comparison here. But that's what he wants to do with this $106 billion package. He wants to send billions of our dollars to Hamas, to Gaza's government. And they couldn't even, I've seen how many interviews, we have all this audio, and we played some of it for you already. How many times, Kane, have they said that they cannot actually be for sure? They're concerned that this aid could actually go towards Hamas.
Only every time they've spoken about it.
Well, that sounds like a great idea. Let's just go ahead and give them the money then. Let's go ahead and just fund the conflict. Let's throw money at everybody involved and let's see how, let's just be entertained. That's what it seems like. That's what it seems like. Why would you do that? Why would you give them aid? We have no allegiance, fealty, responsibility for or towards Gaza. That's Hamas. We've given them so much aid already. It's not our problem that Hamas stole all the aid to enrich themselves. It is not our problem that Hamas, they don't even live in the hellscape that they created. Their leader lives in a plushy palace in Qatar. Doesn't matter. They created the situation. That's Hamas. And I would say even the whole organization, the Palestinian Authority, of which Hamas and Fatah are just two different sides of the same terrorist coin. And the guy who is the head of Fatah is also the chair of the Palestinian Authority. And that's they had Hamas that was elected in 2006 after Israel pulled up stakes, totally receded, totally left Gaza, no occupation, left it to Hamas. Hamas didn't do a single damn thing with it except build tunnels underneath and hide munitions in schools. And now then they were elected in 2006. And Abbas doesn't want to have another election because he thinks that Hamas will take over everything. That's why they haven't had another election. And so the aid that has been sent over there, it's not our problem that Hamas, the elected governing authority of Gaza, chose to keep it for themselves. That is not an argument for us to send more of our hard-earned tax dollars over during a time of recession, inflation, everybody's broke. We don't have that kind of money to spend. We also owe absolutely nothing to Ukraine. We've given them $44 billion already. We can't account for hardly any of it. We're paying people's pensions over there. We can't even take care of our own veterans here at home. We don't owe them anything. We owe them not a damn dime. There is no benefit for the United States at all whatsoever. And you can give me the strongest neocon argument that a drive-by thinks they can present. It's not going to win. It's not going to win it. It's not going to work. It's not going to persuade me. It's not going to persuade other people who recognize that we have no national security interests served by the United States involving itself in a land dispute between Ukraine and Russia. The end. We have greater geopolitical foes elsewhere. Russia is a dying, dead empire. They have waning influence. They're playing second banana to China at this point. Even if they wanted to, they have no way to facilitate or finance any kind of a perceived grand ambition to reinvent the Soviet empire. It's never going to happen. They know it's never going to happen. And for everyone else who's like, well, you know, you can't have NATO, they don't want NATO on their border. NATO's already on their border. It's been on their border with Estonia and Latvia, and there hasn't been an issue. Stop. What? Oh, now, just right now? It's just so dumb. That is so dumb and so specious. I'm so tired of it. I think that's an invention of Western neocons to say that they want to expand their empire. Now, as it relates to Israel, Israel is a strategic ally in that area. We have the Abraham Accords, which is why Iran is so mad, why they decided to do this now. You have this ongoing fight between Sunni and Shia. That's a power, and we shouldn't even be involved in that to that extent. In fact, Saudi Arabia and all of these other signees to the Abraham Accords, they should be stepping up and doing a hell of a lot more. Protect your trade partner. Nothing's going to get done anyway because the house is in chaos. Spending is going to continue at current levels because the house is in chaos. Where are we at now with the latest on this? I know we've got, third round, fourth round? And I think they're taking a secretive vote right now to determine whether or not, or a behind closed doors vote, that's going to determine whether or not Jim Jordan, or voting on whether or not he stays in the race. Does anyone care at this point? You could have Bigfoot. I don't care. Y'all got to get on it and pick somebody. You got to pick somebody. Now, as all of this has been happening, we told you earlier about the Houthis. We told you about the Navy warship near Yemen that intercepted multiple missiles. They haven't actually said for certain which way those missiles were going. And then, of course, while Iran infiltrated the White House, remember you had that, basically remember the Iranian intelligence community, North Korea got into our IT departments, and then they used the money to fund their weapons. I don't know if you saw that. Associated Press, thousands of remote IT workers sent wages to North Korea to help fund a weapons program, according to the FBI. Maybe they would have caught that a little sooner had they not been trying to bully parents who were just speaking out in favor of their children school board meetings. So IT workers that were contracting with U.S. companies, they've been sending thousands of them millions of dollars of their wages to North Korea to use in its ballistic missile program. How cheap and broke ass is your country that this is how you have to fund your weapons program, by the way? That's what FBI and DOJ said. They said that these IT workers had been, they dispatched and contracted by North Korea to work remotely, Kane, with companies in St. Louis and elsewhere in the U.S.
Really?
They've been using false identities to get their jobs. Mm-hmm. The money earned was funneled to the North Korean weapons program. The FBI held a press conference in St. Louis, our hometown, Kane, yesterday. You know, they're too busy going after law-abiding people that simply want to be able to lawfully carry their perfectly legal to purchase private property. Court documents say that North Korea's government dispatched thousands of skilled IT workers to live primarily in China and Russia with the goal of deceiving businesses from the U.S. and elsewhere into hiring them as freelance remote employees. Then they used techniques to make it look like they were working in the U.S., including paying Americans to use their home Wi-Fi connections. And then they would hire freelance IT workers, and these companies would more than likely hire people participating in the scheme. And they said that the North Koreans contracted with companies across the U.S. and in some other countries. So thousands of these IT workers, all part of this. And the scheme was so prevalent, the FBI says that companies have to be extra vigilant in verifying whom they're hiring, including requiring interviewees to at least be seen via video. Because that's how bad it is. Isn't that something? It's a good thing they were, boy, oh boy, it's a good thing they were watching those Catholics, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, oh boy, it's a good thing they were watching those parents speaking out at school board meetings, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, it's a good thing they were watching all those lawful people going to gun shows, huh? You rat bastards. So that's, isn't that something just lovely? While all this was happening, in 2016, you know, they found four Chinese nationals in a trading company charged in the U.S. with using front companies to evade sanctions that targeted NOCO's ballistics initiatives. So it'll be interesting to see what charges come from this. But that millions of dollars funneled back to that. Millions of dollars. And they had the press conference about this yesterday in St. Louis. There. A couple of other things to touch on as well. We were talking about, I don't know if you saw this. I was looking at some of the reactions. So who's that brat? She's a grown-ass woman now. She's not a little kid. She's aging out of the youth bracket. I think that's kind of sad when I see people aging out of the youth bracket, clinging to the youth activism avatar. So you got Greta, what's her face? Thunberg. And Israeli officials slam her because guess who this brat backed? She's defending Hamas. Of course she is. The weather girl. How old is she now? She's like a grown person. Yes. Why is she speaking out about this at all? This is what happens when everyone's like, oh no, you deserve to have a seat at the table of big ideas, Greta. I don't like making kids into activists. I don't like kitty activism. I've always hated it. I've hated it for years. And so now they have this. She was apparently had sent a message supporting the Gazan government. And she said that Israel was, she actually had the audacity, this bimbo, and she's a bimbo. You can get mad at me all you want, but she is. She endorsed a comment where she said that genocide was being perpetrated in Gaza. Any people are going to get mad at me for saying that. I don't care. I'm tired of like acting like you can't respond to someone. Oh, well, she was a kid once. So was I. You know who else were kids? All the babies that the people she's standing for murdered over in Israel. They were all kids once till they had their heads cut off. Until they were burned alive. You know the 12-year-old girl? The sweet autistic girl who dressed up as Harry Potter? They found her and her grandmother dead in the desert. Do you know that? I wonder if Greta Thunberg can spare a word for, you know, for that genocide. She wants to talk about genocide. Golly, her parents are literally like the participation trophy, like poster parents. God, so she, I guess, can't get any more attention for bitching about the weather, so she does this. These people, honestly.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, this first up here, a Michigan man who stole $20,000 in mixers from Target gets jail time. What? That's a guy, 31 years old, Farmington Hills, Michigan. Guy's going to spend some time in jail. He pled guilty to a scheme in which he stole a bunch of KitchenAid mixers, like the big giant countertop mixers. And it was this whole scheme where they were reselling them. He was ordered to pay $20,000 in restitution to Target. It was the theft and resale scheme. And they would take them, they're like $500 per unit, and then they would resell them. He had a little side hustle going on, but now he's in jail for it. Because it's dumb. It's a dumb side hustle. Get like a real job. A man was found sleeping inside the ceiling of a convenience store, scaring the shop owners half to death. This is according to the British Mirror, but it was in Norman, Oklahoma, where it happened. Apparently, the guy didn't steal any food or any other items. They're investigating, in Norman police, they're investigating the Brahms Ice Cream and Dairy Store. Workers arrived just last month. They were met with a puzzling scene. They saw ceiling tiles strewn across the floor. And then that's when they discovered 41-year-old Philip Hickman sleeping in the ceiling. And he was there sleeping on the rafters. And so they finally took him into custody. But yeah, he had, apparently there was a lot of stuff that were damaged, and it was damaged in the ceiling area. But golly, I don't know what goes through people's heads. This is Putin deploys combat dolphins to take on Ukrainian commandos in the Black Sea. Dolphins are jerks, man. You know that, right? They're absolute ignorant animals. They can be your friend or they can, it just depends. I mean, you know, some dolphins are just seabags. This is the way it is. These probably are those kinds of dolphins. They're specially trained marine mammals. Didn't they do this before? I've heard stories about this before. They help guard the Black Sea fleet at Sevastopol and at that port in Crimea. And satellite images have indicated floating pens have been installed near where special forces have made incursions and landed on the Crimean Peninsula. So they apparently detect enemy divers, they can plant mines, and they can do reconnaissance. That's just actually kind of... You have combat dolphins. What about like a combat narwhal? Or a combat manatee? Do you have a combat manatee? How would that work? A bear, again, another bear that breaks into people's homes and does people things. This bear broke into a home in Connecticut and stole the lasagna out of the kitchen. Legit took the lasagna. You can see the bear's tags in the video. Took the lasagna out of the kitchen, walked right to the refrigerator, literally pulled it open with its paw, got the lasagna like it knew what it was doing, and started eating the lasagna. That's creepy when they just like know that stuff's in, I don't know. Stay with us. We got more in store.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
There are student groups that may have legitimate concerns, for example, about, just a minute, legitimate concerns about the loss of innocent civilian life in Gaza.
They're not condemned by this resolution.
No. But what you are doing is saying you're questioning, based on certain remarks made by some students,
Senator,
you're questioning them all.
We are condemning.
I object.
Mr. President. Mr. President.
And Mr. President, if I may,
Mr. President,
I have to. I had
Senator
to run down
Missouri
before. I got
the
another
floor.
Meeting, but I object.
It's hard to believe what we've just heard on this floor. Defense of the most vile anti-Semitic rhetoric under the excuse that to call out specifically the specific statements and denounce them one at a time and say this is wrong, that is somehow a smear.
So that's Josh Hawley who's responding to that. That was Chris Van Hollen who just, you know, he's going to get up and go now. I got a meeting. I'm going to go to that meeting. He just gets up and leaves. They're talking about the college stuff. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. The just leaves. Blocks Hawley's resolution condemning the pro-Hamas actions on college campuses. Doesn't even want to have a discussion about it. And then leaves. Yeah. I just think when people show you who they are, believe them. Believe them. Saw this. I saw this thing. My friend Kurt Schlichter had retweeted it. Some stupid reporter's going, oh, Representative Omar's facing some very, very scary threats right now. And she says she's worried for her children's safety. And yet here's the NRCC a few minutes ago fanning this disgusting propaganda. Oh, she's the victim. Representative Omar's the victim. She's more of a victim than the dead Jewish babies that had their heads chopped off by the group that she apologizes for and is a fan of. Oh, I mean, she hasn't condemned them. What am I to think? In fact, every single time they double and triple down on this, her and Tlaib and others. I don't believe that she's facing death threats. That's a lie. No, she's not. And I don't care. All of this is a result of the pro-Hamas squad apologizing for a terrorist attack, being apologists for a terrorist group. So no, and you don't get to be the victim. You're not the victim. I can't stand that. These people that go out, I'm the victimiest victim that ever victim. Did you guys see Talcum X out there the other day? Remember him? Sean King. What else did they call him? Talcum X. What else? I have never seen such a stupid post in my life. I reposted it and I had said Sean King is the victimiest victim to ever victim because he shared, I guess him or his wife or whatever, shared a picture. He was standing in front of a window and it said, you know, Sean was just so upset and he was thinking about getting his words together, you know, with all of this stuff that's happening over in the Middle East. And he was just so overwhelmed and he had to go stand in front of a window and look outside because, you know, he's the real victim here. I mean, yes, there was a 12-year-old that was found butchered in the desert with her grandmother because she committed the crime of being Jewish. But Sean King is the real victim here, guys, right? I mean, I know that there were kids that had been shot right between the eyes and set alight and burned to ash to the point where they have to use dental records to even identify the bodies. But, you know, it's Ilhan Omar that's the real victim. You know, how dare you criticize her for marrying her brother? She's the real victim. So just get over yourselves. My friend Kurt goes, I don't care if she's facing threats. It's a matter for cops if it's in fact real, which I don't believe. The idea that we're somehow not supposed to call out this anti-Semitic traitor's lies because scary people tweet mean things is ridiculous and it's not going to happen. Screw her. She's a scumbag and deserves our contempt. Cosign. There's no gray area and my approach to things, in case you are unfamiliar with me, is I was born for a storm. I am not, and I hate Andrew Jackson, so I don't want to quote him, but I do like that quote. I am not suited to a perfect calm, and I have to acclimate to perfect calm, and I do so every day. But when things kick off and there are people being targeted for who they are. I don't get intimidated and I want to claw people's face off for being terrorists and bullies. That's just how I look at it. I will go hard. I had people, and you see them online, and I've heard from some of you. They're like, gosh, I commented on this one, you know, Israeli ambassador's tweet, and I had all of these like pro Hamas people saying the most ignorant things to me. Just let me know, because they don't like talking to me. I don't care. I don't care. And we got Castle Doctrine. I don't care. My tendency is to obliterate things into dust. And that's what there's no gray area for me here. You're either pro or anti-terrorist. There's no gray area. We're not doing this, but both thought I'm not. No. The moment someone tells me that, I'm like, I know what side you're on. Next. I've had friends that have tried to say, well, you know, Netanyahu is, you know, funding Hamas. And they cite one screenshot of a quote that they saw some jackwagon share on Twitter. And I'm like, are you serious right with me right now? You're sharing this quote, which was actually taken from remarks that you can dislike Netanyahu for judicial reform or whatever. But don't sit here and present to me an out of context quote that was actually made during remarks about how Israel was being expected to keep the peace the last time Hamas tried stuff, and they were being pressured by the Qatari government and they were being forced to give more aid to Gaza in order to get some of their hostages back. And so that's what he's talking about. But don't sit here and present to me an out of context tweet from some jackwagon who doesn't know the history of the area or the history of that remark as some sort of evidence that Netanyahu funded Hamas. I'm so tired of this ignorant, miles wide, inches deep analysis. Not the same thing. I had a friend who tried sharing that with me, and I'm like, respectfully, we are not going to get along at the conclusion of this conversation, so I'm going to ask that you withdraw this message to me if you want to remain friends. There's just no, there's no gray area. We're in weird times. Weird times. I'm shocked at some of the stuff I'm seeing. I was asking my youngest. I was like, have you seen any of this on your college campus? He's been so busy studying and getting in midterms. He hasn't, but he is not one. He's kind of like me. He's not suited for a comm. That wouldn't go over real well around him, I don't believe. He's meaner than me. That's actually terrifying. Oh, man. I'm glad he's a boy. I'm so glad he's a boy. But I see this. It's they're very clarifying times. Very clarifying times. I keep seeing all the more and more of, you know, these stories come out. They just released two hostages. Where are the rest of them at? Where are them hostages at? Where are the rest of them at? They said they released two hostages, a mother and her daughter, both citizens, for humanitarian reasons. And they wanted to spite the Biden administration's claim about the atrocities they've committed. So literally, they released two citizens only to prove to the American people that the claims made by Biden as fascist administration are false and baseless. That's what Hamas said in a statement. Where are the other ones, you dogs? Where are the other ones? Where are the other hostages? Where are they at? Two? Only two? And then they released this statement telling on themselves. We don't really care about any humanitarian reasons. We just did this for an optics war. You absolute dumbasses. Where are the rest of the hostages? That's what they said. So they have, I don't even know how many other foreign nationals they have, but they have a number of Americans. The Biden administration doesn't know. Did they know with Afghanistan? No. Did they ever know? Hell no. They don't know. You know, Gavin Newsom said he's going over to Israel for some reason. Why are all these governors going over there? Kathy Hochul. Like the one governor who's running for president, DeSantis, hasn't gone over there. He's just sent planes to bring Americans home. No, Gavin Newsom's like, yes, I'm going to go over to Israel. And I asked, but I never got an answer, if he was going to bring back some of those Americans that were stranded there, if he was going to bring back some of those with him on his private Cali jet. And I don't think he is. I don't think Kathy Hochul is either. So that's interesting. I read a story about Mark Geist, and you remember him as he's the veteran, one of the ones who was there fighting Benghazi. And there was a church group that, I want to say they were in Colorado, but a church group that had to reach out to him because they got stranded in Israel after the Hamas attack happened. and the airlines started canceling flights. And so they, the story is that they were working with Geist and his connections that he had there to get out. And they actually had to make their way into Jordan to be able to leave because they couldn't leave out of Tel Aviv. And, you know, maybe Newsom or Hochul could have brought them back, you know. I'm just saying. Why is Gavin Newsom going over? Because his shadow campaign for president, is that what this is? Yeah. So he's going over there to do what? Yeah. Guys, I can bring needles and feces over here just like I did in California. Look at it. It's all so great. I can do all those things. It's amazing. I mean, they haven't said anything about it, so I don't know. Speaking of California, real quick, just to get this out. I don't know if you saw that, but the California assault weapons ban was just, it was, and this is a pretty serious rebuke. I saw this Firearms Policy Coalition, the judge, U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez, he declared their ban on quote unquote large capacity magazines unconstitutional. And this time it was the state's ban on assault weapons that existed before he was a judge. It was before this judge in Benita, indicate that was Miller versus Bonta. He blasted the ban, saying that it barred California, average everyday Californians, from just possessing commonly owned firearms that are protected by the language of the Second Amendment. So that was a really 79. I haven't got through all of it. It's 79 pages. He is sass. He is all sass. I love it. So he, it's very interesting. And he blasts the argument from the state that this would have any beneficial effect at all whatsoever on homicide rates. So good for that. Oh, man, the anti-gun, the anti-Second Amendment lobby is infuriated. They're so mad. So there's some upside to that. Now, one other thing, whenever you hear large capacity, it made me think of this story. Let me pull this up real quick because this was in New York City. It was in Queens. Let me pull this up real quick. This is MSN. Just yesterday, a Queens man was shot and critically injured. A targeted home invasion. 31-year-old victim was inside his home. 8 mask-wearing suspects surrounded the house. Now, remember what I've told you statistically about home invasions. It's always more than one person. So whenever anyone asks you why you need that many rounds, you tell them to go blank off. Because that's why you need this many rounds, because of this. And there's video of it. It was obtained by the investigators and through the homeowner. And it shows the crew splitting up into groups of twos. They try to enter through the front door, the side and back entrances of the home. One of them broke the front window and tried to make his way. But the victim pushed him back outside. And then at that point, one of the accomplices opened fire. And the crew snatched $800 in an iPad before they left. And I read there was another story where someone else was able to defend themselves against 3 armed home invaders. And I don't think you got 8 attackers, 10 rounds, because what is New York has what? 10. Don't they have a maximum capacity? How you want all the capacities in New York? That's why you should have as much of a capacity as you want. Good grief. It is always FBI uniform crime reports. It is always more. It's, I mean, 99% of the time it's more than one. It's like a huge, it's never just like one person coming in. That's actually rare. It's not actually 99%. I was trying to remember the statistic. I have it cited in pieces that I've written, but a vast majority, it's over 90%, is always more than one person that commits a home invasion.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bank records obtained by the House Committee on Oversight have revealed a $200,000 direct payment from James and Sarah Biden to Joe Biden in the form of a personal check. Here's some important context about this check we've obtained in our investigation. In 2018, James Biden received $600,000 in loans from AmeriCorps, a financially distressed and failing rural hospital operator. According to bankruptcy court documents, James Biden received these loans, quote, based upon representations that his last name, Biden, could open doors and that he could obtain a large investment from the Middle East based on his political connections, end quote.
So, and there's they have a copy of the check on the Twitters, guys. The check is on the Twitters. or the X now. I can't say Twitter's no more. Gosh dang it. I have to say X now. It's not as fun. Welcome back to the show. That's the latest. That just can't. It'd be great if we could have some, you know, subpoenas and all that. Go. Oh, but wait. We don't have a speaker in the house. It's okay.
Can't do that.
Can't do any of that. And yeah, it's third round and yeah, still nothing. Yeah, it says for loan repayment. I mean, this is like some juicy sommelier stuff. It is that level. Oh, man. So that's the latest. All right, today in stupidity game.
You can just see in the memo that check for Chicago assault.
Right.
All right, this is Democrat Rep. Jake Auchinloss. This is what he says about accountability. Listen to the question and then how he answers.
Congressman, would you be open to more accountability around the funds? That is one thing we have heard from Republicans not named J.D. Vance. I know Victoria Sparks, who was just on with us, she's talking about more accountability of where the funds are.
Yeah.
Accountability is a stalking horse for Republicans to try to avoid taking a vote that might anger their Trump base. The funds to Ukraine have...
What is that about?
Accountability is a stalking horse.
Auchinloss, is that his name?
Yes, you said that correctly. Sure.
Yeah, that's what it's. I thought it was. I thought that sounded right. Wow. All right, folks. Oh, goodness. Everybody chill. We got the weekend. And then I'm going to be back with you. I'll be your guide, Van Halen style, into next week on Monday. See you then.